B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, Steve, I'm sure you probably remember this. I was not familiar with this story, but a 70-year-old man in prison for the 1976 kidnapping of a bus full of children has been approved for parole. But this story is crazy, and
I remember
I'm not familiar with this. Frederick Newall Woods, 70 years old now, was one of three men who kidnapped 26 children and their bus driver in Chowchilla, a small northern city, in Northern California, more than 45 years ago. And here's where it gets really funky. All 27 captives were taken to Livermore, more than 100 miles away, placed into a moving truck, and then buried alive.
What?
In a quarry owned by Woods' father. The kidnappers then demanded $5 million ransom while the victims were underground in what was the largest mass kidnapping in U.S. history, a scheme apparently inspired by a plot point in the movie Dirty Harry. Because the main antagonist steals a bus load of kids.
Absolutely. In fact, I think they end up in a quarry.
And after 16 hours underground, they were buried underground. The driver and the children dug themselves out and escaped as the kidnappers were asleep. Isn't this wild?
And they're letting this guy out.
Well, he's been in jail for a long time. So, yeah, and in fact, the other ones are out of jail. Woods and his co-conspirators, Richard and James Schoenfield, pleaded guilty to kidnapping and were each given 27 life sentences without the possibility of parole. However, an appeals court overturned the sentence and ruled that they should have had a chance for parole. Richard Schoenfield was paroled in 2012, and James Schoenfeld was released in 2015. Woods is the last of the three still in prison. Woods' 18th parole hearing was held on Friday. He first became eligible in 1982. So they have, you know, it's been going on for a long time that he has been waiting for parole. The parole board will conduct a 120-day review of the decision, and then Governor Gavin Newsom can reject the grant. Can also take no action, allow the decision for parole to stand, or refer the decision to the full board for review. Several victims of the kidnapping, now adults, told CNN in 2015 they still had anxiety and nightmares from the incident. Darla Neal, who was 10 at the time, said her extreme anxiety made it impossible to live normally. She said, "I'm overwhelmed to the point that I had to leave work." She said, "I tell myself I should be able to shake this off and deal with it, yet here I am, a mess." That's wild. I'd like to see...
There are documentaries, clearly.
Are there about
Yes,
it?
There are.
Yeah. Okay. That's wild, man.
The whole Chowchilla thing is absolutely... It was all over the news.
Living with family can be overbearing sometimes, and many may feel annoyed and trapped by constant pestering. For Wei Jianggu, a Chinese man who is in his 60s, the solution has been to move to Beijing Capital International Airport, where he is understood to have been living for 14 years now. And he is there so that he can smoke and drink as much as he wants to.
So he's like Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Mirroring Tom Hanks, Victor Navorsk, in the 2004 movie The Terminal, where a tourist is forced to live at JFK Airport, Mr. Wei has a setup of his food, belongings, and sleeping bag, and they're all in a waiting area.
Whee! That's what I get to do.
14 years. He said that he won't return home because then he'll be forced to quit drinking and smoking.
So I'm living at the airport.
A habit he supplies with his monthly government allowance. In 2018, he told China Daily, "I can't go back home because I have no freedom there. My family told me if I wanted to stay, I had to quit smoking and drinking.
And I don't want to.
If I couldn't do that, I had to give them all of my monthly government allowance. But then how would I buy my cigarettes and alcohol?
I don't live near a bowling alley."
His home is around 12 miles away from the airport. He moved in 2008 and is settled at Terminal 2, which is the warmest. But he previously has said that he sometimes visits Terminal 3.
It's nice. You got to get out now and then.
He began sleeping at a railway station or at railway stations and the airport after a falling out with his family. The man said that he had given up looking for work and was let go from a job where he worked at an internal combustion engine factory in his 40s for being too old.
If you were to pick a place to live, like a commercial building or some sort of business, or would an airport be on the list, or would you opt for like a mall?
A mall.
Mall. If IKEA was open all the time, that's where I'd probably want to be. But I guess the airport is open all the time.
Seeing new faces.
There's
Cinnabon.
There's no reason. You have a variety of places to go.
Lots to read.
Why not? So one worker said that Mr. Wee had been encouraged to leave a few times, but every time we mentioned it, he was drunk and lost his temper.
Leave me alone!
So they just let him stay.
Wow. Get out of my house.
Okay. A woman was arrested on Sunday. This is a little vague, but I like how this story ends, okay? A woman was arrested Sunday after leading police on a nearly mile-long path of destruction, they called it, according to the Seattle Police Department. Around 3 in the afternoon, officers responded to several reports of a woman causing property damage to business windows. The police did not specify an exact location. Officers located several damaged locations and followed a path of destruction nearly a mile where they found the woman who was clutching 3 stalks of rhubarb.
All right. Wow.
When the women attempted...
It's the rhubarb bandit.
When the officers attempted to stop the woman, she ran. After a brief foot pursuit, the woman was arrested and booked into the county jail on charges of burglary and malicious mischief.
I don't want to run anymore, and this rhubarb's heavy.
No injuries were reported. All right, and then we'll do one last story and wrap this up. A New Jersey woman faces more charges after police say she stole a car less than an hour after being released from the St. Tammany Parish Correctional Center. She gets out of jail. She steals a car in less than an hour.
Just doesn't get it.
You were
in jail for stuff like this.
4:45 p.m. on Monday, Sheriff's Office was contacted by about a red Chevy Camaro, which had been stolen after it was left running outside a fast food restaurant. Deputies found the stolen Camaro heading southbound. They gave chase. They said the driver didn't stop and sideswiped another car before deputies found the car crashed at an exit.
Oh, so this is still illegal?
The driver, 27-year-old Sarah Connors of Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Well, she was evading a Terminator.
Yeah, sustained serious injuries in the crash and was transported by emergency medical personnel to a local area hospital. Cases under investigation and charges are pending.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A Georgia police officer probably thought no one was watching when he took his squad car to a scrubby area off a quiet road in a small Georgia town, walked around the back, and then started having sex with someone while in uniform.
Hmm.
But someone high up and nearby in a communications tower started filming and uploaded the videos to TikTok last week, where they quickly racked up more than 15 million views.
Was his defense that he was being the good cop?
Now the officer, it's an interrogation technique.
Yeah. Sex cop, no sex cop.
The officer identified as Officer Larry Benjamin Thompson has quit and a record of past misconduct has come to light.
There you go.
Satellite maps from White Oak Road in Millen, a town of about 3,500 people an hour south of Augusta, show the same tower nearby a cemetery and patches of dirt and brushes, bushes that can be seen in the video.
Sounds romantic.
The map also shows a school across the street. Chief Dwayne Harrington said that he was planning to meet with Thompson on Monday about a video, but Thompson quit beforehand. And Georgia State records showed Thompson had worked on and off for the department since 2015. And in fact, according to the city council meeting minutes, Thompson was involved in a car crash while at work in November 2019. Somebody ended up dying in that. He T-boned a guy. And then there were documents showing that while working for the fire department in 2017, he accidentally discharged his gun and shot a colleague in the arm. He claimed the gun had malfunctioned, but the probe found the
just
weapon.
Just not good at this.
Had no malfunctions. And then last year, a woman who'd been in a relationship with him said that she called the police to accuse him of harassing her. He was running her tags to find a new address, claiming that he was trying to return some old items to her. So this guy's got a list of things to issue. But the sex, public sex, on the back of a squad car in uniform kind of stands out.
When I worked over at Channel 10, I was working once with organizing the shots and the cameras that were stationed somewhere, you know, that were
right.
That were on buildings. And there was one down the shore, and it was in the fall. And so it was a nice picture, and it was zoomed in on a couple. They were the only people on the beach. There was nowhere else. So it was a nice shot. You could see the water, the beach, and the couple. And it didn't go live on the air. We caught it before, but the guy that I was working with was like, oh, no, tell them not to take the shot. shot. He was she was performing on him on the beach, and it was zoomed right in on them.
All right,
that's awesome.
Should have run with that.
All right, here's another one of these. A Nebraska state lawmaker apologized on Monday after he publicly cited a persistent but debunked rumor alleging that schools are placing litter boxes in school bathrooms to accommodate children who self-identify as cats. Senator Bruce Bosselman repeated the false claim during a public televised debate on a bill intended to help school children who have behavioral problems. His comments quickly went viral with one Twitter video garnering more than 300,000 views on Monday. He initially said he was shocked when he heard stories that children were dressing as cats and dogs while at school, with claims that schools were accommodating them with litter boxes. He said they meow and they bark and they interact with their teachers in this fashion.
Wait, the ones dressed as cats are barking?
You can't do that. And now schools are wanting to put litter boxes in the schools for these children to use.
May I recommend Arm & Hammer?
And he said, how is this sanitary? But hours after his remarks, he backtracked and acknowledged the story wasn't true. He said he checked into the claims with State Senator Lynn Waltz and confirmed there were no such incidents. So at least
we are still concerned about that island tipping over.
That's exactly what I thought of. A Massachusetts man says that he has the answers for those singing the blues about stratospheric gas prices. Rick Madera of Fall River has taken to riding his electric unicycle to work, saving on gas and cutting his commute time in the process. He said it's just more convenient and it's obviously more fun. But listen to this thing that he has, okay? It's Madera's Gotway Nikola Plus. No seat or handlebars, just places for his feet. It can go to 70 or 80 miles on a single charge and reaches speeds up to 40 miles an hour.
Does he run the risk of impaling his butt if he falls down on what?
I don't know.
I've seen these.
These
are actually very cool. I was thinking like a modded type of unicycle. I've seen these.
He's not sitting on it. It's like a Segway. You know, it's got
sans everything basically. Right.
Well, it's like a hoverboard but just one wheel. It's got the gyroscope in it to keep it upright. But anyhow,
could you imagine going 40 miles an hour on something like that? Like.
Dude, I've been on an electric bike doing 25, and I'm like, okay, I'm hauling ass on this thing. I can't imagine going 40 on something like this.
He appears to be wearing some sort of, like, motorcycle-ish gear.
Yeah, he's wearing knee pads.
You'd have to.
And leather jacket and the whole thing. So maybe there'll be gangs of these guys riding around.
Yeah, the next Warriors movie.
He said, it literally takes me 4 minutes to get to work versus about 8 minutes in a vehicle.
And literally.
He's allowed to ride on the sidewalk if he wants to, but he usually sticks to the road, keeping to the shoulder when possible. And he can also move in front of the line at red lights like a motorcycle or cyclist does.
When that becomes less fun is when it's raining.
They sell for about $2,000 for one of these things. And he said, it's the future. It's 10 or 20 years, and I'm sure I won't even have to bring it up. He thinks everybody's going to be riding them. All right, and then finally, we will end with this story. Los Angeles firefighters worked for nearly 2 hours trying to save a dog after it got swept up in the Los Angeles River after a storm on Monday. Crews also saved a homeless woman and man who jumped in to save the dog that kept breaking free and going downstream. Los Angeles Fire Department responded to the call about a woman and her dog being trapped in the water after heavy rainfall turned the concrete riverbed into a moving river. Firefighters made contact with the woman and sent a flotation ring, but abandoned the rescue after being concerned about her dog and continued downstream. The woman was later saved and taken to the hospital for minor injuries. The dog continued to move downstream, and air operations got in position to attempt to rescue. However, the large dog, scared and in panic mode, fought the rescuer, and the rescuer was not able to hold on to him. A 28-year-old bystander witnessing the debacle decided to jump in and rescue the dog. He was able to grab the dog, but the water was too strong, and the dog broke away. And apparently the dog bit him, too.
The dog
was freaked out.
You understand.
You know, the man was eventually pulled to safety and taken to the hospital with injuries. But it took a lot of people, and they eventually got the dog out and got him to safety.
It looked as if the dog just finally hit a shallower part of the...
did it?
Yeah, and then just started walking.
The crowds gathered above, cheered as the dog and crew safely walked out of the river. But it's nice that many people will jump in and try to help out an animal in trouble like that. All right, and there you go, your Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast.
Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.